Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. It's Wednesday, March 22nd, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballinger. Good to have you here with us. The WGC Dell Technologies match play is underway, but we've still got some things we could talk about there. In the overall market, there have been a couple moves I do want to highlight before we talk about the Corrales Punta Cana Championship a little bit more in the Dominican Republic. That starts tomorrow. That's the opposite field event on the PGA Tour. We can also talk about the LPGA Drive 1 Championship and the Johnson Workwear Open, which is underway as well. Or will be underway tomorrow in South Africa on the DP World Tour. Lots and lots of action this week to work through. But the market right now is changed a little bit on the WGC, which again, like 5-6 matches are underway right now as we're recording this. Tyrrell Hatton is the big move, though. He went from 25 to 20 pretty much across the board, and that means there's a huge liability on him. I think he started the week a little bit deeper than 25, but now is 20. So clearly a lot of people like him, and there hasn't been quite as much action on Rahm, McIlroy, and maybe even Cantlay as people thought. I think Cantlay is a great pick this week, by the way. A lot of people like Homa that I've seen, and for good reason, but Hatton seems to be getting the most love. Jason Day has become a touch shorter, I think, than when he started the week. Same with Cameron Young, I think a little bit shorter, but Fleetwood's still hanging out there at 45-1. So if you've not hit him yet, I would strongly urge you to take a look at Tommy Fleetwood. Yes, he has not won on the PGA Tour. Well, this could be one of those ways you kind of get into a victory on American soil if you're Tommy Fleetwood, because it's a tournament that is not your typical stroke play event. For whatever reason, that's a bugaboo for him. This may not be. So just thinking about those. Right now, those are kind of the moves I've looked at, last-minute things to maybe make a play on. I have seen, and I do like the recommendation of Taylor Montgomery at 80-1. I think if you want to play him at 80-1, hopefully you played him to reach like the top four or something like that as kind of a backup bet, so to speak. But other than that, I also would consider Kurt Kitayama. I think he's just going to be a hard out for a lot of these guys. And Seamus Power could get out of his group and do some things. So if you're thinking about longer shots, that might be where you want to turn. I do want to get into the Punta Cana Championship just a little bit here. And if you look at the market there, it hasn't changed dramatically. Dietrich's gotten a little bit shorter, I think. He's 16-1 now. Taylor Pendrith still in there, 22, along with Patrick Rogers and Joel Damon. I think Pendrith is still the right play there. Ben Martin, I know he's played okay this year, and he has obviously got a pretty decent record in this tournament. But I think if you want to play a horse-for-course play, go with Kramer Hickok. He's playing well lately relative to his career arc, and he does have, I think, a better track record in this tournament, slightly better. Akshay Bhatia, 35-1, is going to see a lot of love this week. Sam Stevens, I think, is someone you should take at least a little stake in this tournament at 40-1. And Michael Kim, 45-1, I will probably fire on as well. Johnson Workwear Open. This was supposed to be the Stein City Championship on the DP World Tour, and then Johnson Workwear stepped in and became the sponsor. We don't have history for this tournament, so we don't really know much about this venue or this place, which I think makes a lot of sense then to have South Africans lining your card. That's how I always think about these tournaments that are co-sanctioned with the Sunshine Tour, which is the South African Tour. That always seems to be a good play. It might not get you there, but I think it's valuable to have some South Africans on the card. That said, the South Africans that you might think of right away, Thurston Lawrence and Wilco Nienaber, I don't know. Wilco's playing okay. Thurston's not. They're both 25-1. I can understand why you might not be particularly interested in backing them, and instead you go down to like Oliver Becker at 35-1. Tom McKibben's kind of interesting at 35-1. He's showing flashes that some things could be happening, that he could be getting toward a trophy. I feel the same way kind of about Sami Välimäki at 40-1. I think that's a worthwhile play. And then if you want to go a little bit deeper than that, I still think Ewan Ferguson's heading in the right direction. And we'll see how that plays out, I guess, this week a little bit. But if you want to go even deeper, I think John Catlin at 70-1 is quite interesting. He's been playing well, and he's not getting much respect for playing pretty well lately in the market. I think that's a very good price for a guy who has done this before. Daniel Gavin's at 80-1 kind of interests me as well. And then there are going to be some people who go super deep here because these things happen. Like, this absolutely can happen. What about Justin Harding at 100-1? You know, again, fits the bill of a guy South African. This is a hard tournament. This is a really hard tournament. I think it's not as hard as the WGC Dell Technologies match play, but I do think it's pretty hard to handicap that. And I will recommend a show that airs on GNN Radio, which is Lost for Words. The guys do a great job every week. They did not do the Stein City Championship, the Johnson Workwear this week. They focused exclusively on the WGC Dell Technologies match play, but most weeks they do DP World Tour and PGA Tour. They do a great job, going great depth. They do a show about DraftKings games. They do a game or a broadcast around the outright market and just other bets for the week for both of those major events. And they do it's worth your time to listen to it. So I would highly suggest you check that out next week. Interestingly enough, there are odds out there for the Corn Ferry Tour this week. We've got the Club Car Championship, which is in Savannah, Georgia. And that course has been a host, I guess, 3 years now on the Corn Ferry Tour, if I remember right. So they've already set up all the groupings. Of course, they start out on Thursday. But if you look at kind of the history of this tournament, and they have results going back to... So 2022 last year, you had TJ Vogel win, Mark Anderson, Ryan Blum finished tied for second, Jimmy Stanger fourth, Nico Echevarria, Carl Yuan, guys who are now on the PGA Tour. Mark Hubbard is a PGA Tour guy. Justin Sub, Ben On. So a lot of those great players moved away. If you want to look at 2020, they didn't play it in 2021, I guess. They were moving it. A lot of these names you aren't going to really recognize. Evan Harmeling. Kevin Dougherty, Eric Cole, you'll recognize because he's now on the PGA Tour. Brett Coletta, Chad Ramey now on the PGA Tour. Same with Harry Hall, George Cunningham, no, though. I think you got some interesting numbers here because you've got Lanto Griffin at 35-1. Guy plays on the PGA Tour, just coming back from injury. But he did show a couple of flashes of some decent golf. 35-1 interests me. Chris Goddrip interests me at 28-1. Pearson Cootie definitely interests me at 25-1. Has been getting some action on the PGA Tour. Can see the stark difference between playing on the PGA Tour and the Corn Ferry Tour. I can get behind that. Brett Druitt, it's kind of interesting. CT Pan. Wow, I didn't even realize he was playing those events on the Corn Ferry Tour now. That's a pretty substantial fall for him. But I think that's where I would stay if you're going to try to bet these tournaments. You just don't see a whole lot. Ben Silverman might be interesting at 50-1. You just don't see a whole lot of... Jimmy Stanger is still out there at 65-1. So I guess that's probably where I would sit this week. I think some guys are trying to make a little hay this week on the Corn Ferry Tour in the event that they might have to go back there. You don't have to necessarily play. I guess you can, I don't know exactly how the rules work on that, but Lanto being a guy with PGA Tour status and with injury stuff, 35-1, I think kind of interests me. And like I said, Chris Goddrip and Pearson Cootie, that's probably where I would sit this week. But with the Corn Ferry Tour being just about to get into a more regular schedule, I would tread very, 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 very lightly if you were thinking about betting this. LPGA Tour this week. Drive One Championship. Interesting venue because it's a former LPGA venue. Superstition Mountain was for a long time. If you look at the table this week, you've got Nelly Korda up top, 7-1, just playing well. Talia Tidikal at 10-1. Jin Young Ko, 12-1. Lily Vu, 14, along with Lexi Thompson. Danielle Kang, 18-1. I would look at Danielle Kang this week. She played well in the Aramco Team Series event, 54 holes. Wound up losing to Pauline Rousseau. But 18-1 is a pretty good number for her. I say the same thing about Brooke Henderson and Maja Stark, 22-1 and 25-1, respectively. Those are pretty decent odds for an LPGA event. And Ashley Buhai could interest me as well at 45-1 because she has already won this year. She won her national championship on the Ladies European Tour, so she's already got a trophy in hand. That's got to feel pretty good. Pauline Racine, who did well in the Aramco Team Series winning on the individual event, is 55-1 if you think there's some kind of crossover there. And Jody Ewart-Shadoff, who I feel like always gets kind of shafted on the odds every week is 60-1. So if you're thinking about anything on the LPGA side, I would consider those. And I'll throw in Aditi Ashok at 65-1. She's been playing really well on the Ladies European Tour. If you want to look at that number, I don't think this golf course is going to punish her relative lack of length. And she just hits bullets all day long. So I would look there too. I do want to get into Masters futures a little bit. We just ran this article at golfnewsnet.com for our members. And it's a look at the 10 players that are most likely to win the Masters. And it's rooted in one key statistic. And Will Haskett, who's a buddy of mine, friend of the show, friend of GNN Radio and GNN, tweeted this last year. And it's something you have to absorb, which is his look at the strokes gained tee to green in the 3 months prior to the Masters. So basically calendar year leading into the Masters. All of the winners going back a little bit more than a decade now, have gained approximately 1.5 strokes on average per round tee to green in the 3 months leading into the Masters. There have been some who have dropped below that. Hideki and Patrick Reed are noteworthy. Hideki's an incredible ball striker, so maybe you just kind of take that for what it is. Reed got so little out of his quality ball striking at the time, but he still wound up winning. So I decided I would set the bar at 1.5 strokes average tee to green. Obviously, we're talking PGA Tour here because we've got the most data for that. But if you look at those players, which one of them will give you the best chance to win the Masters? And if you look at the tee to green numbers, I won't give them all away because obviously there's a membership component to this. But I think the top four will be pretty obvious to you. Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa is third, Patrick Cantlay is fourth. And then there are some surprises beyond that. But if you're in the top 10 of this ranking for this year, for calendar 2023, you are gaining at least 1.625 strokes tee to green on average per round. There are a few surprises in there. If you're a member, you'll find them out. But I even went down to 1.25 or better. And there are a couple of surprises in there as well. We also have total rounds played this year. They're all kind of in the similar range, but there are a couple of surprises in there. So that leads me to look at the existing market for the futures for the Masters. You can still get Scottie Scheffler at 8-1 to win the Masters. I know there only have been three people who have ever successfully defended this title, but he is clearly the top of the board there. Rory McIlroy is 7-1. I would be more likely to bet Scheffler to repeat than McIlroy to win the Masters because the scar tissue for Rory at the Masters is way worse than the pressure on Scottie Scheffler to become the fourth person to defend that title. But two guys on that list that I've mentioned, Patrick Cantlay and Colin Morikawa, are both 22-1. I know Morikawa is not the best putter there's ever been, but he's won two majors. Patrick Cantlay is not the best major championship player there is, but he is one of the best strokes gained tee to green players that there is. And I think you have to have a piece of Jason Day at 35-1. I think you have to. Same thing with Tyrrell Hatton. You got to get both of those guys. And you probably got to get him in pocket now. I think Hatton's going to get shorter as people have stormed to bet him this week. And I think Day is going to get shorter too as people realize what he has done so far this year. But some other guys you may want to think about. Tommy Fleetwood, 65-1, playing really, really well. Shane Lowry starting to turn it up, 50-1, worth looking at. Do you want to look at any of the LIV guys out there? Dustin Johnson has not played well. Cam Smith has not played well. If you think Cam Smith is just kind of dogging it a little bit, and I don't know that he is. I think he's trying. But he's 20-1 right now. You're getting a much better price on him because he hasn't played well on LIV and he hasn't played much at all. So I would be interested in looking at him. If you want to look at any other LIV player to win the Masters, now you're looking deeper than 50-1 other than Dustin Johnson, who's 22. But beyond that, Joaquin Niemann is 50. Bryson is 55 along with Brooks. I don't think either of them are even bettable at this point. Niemann played well last year, playing okay so far this year. worth a consideration, I suppose. Patrick Reed, 65, no thank you. Louis Oosthuizen, 65, kind of interesting. Did get into a playoff in the last live event and has never won in the United States, which is unbelievable given his history. But I think that would be one worth looking at. Maybe you want to think about a Taylor Gooch, even though he's not been particularly great this year on live, 80-1. Yeah, I think that's probably on the live side. But I think some numbers you got to look at. You got to look at Shane Lowry. You've got to look at Tommy Fleetwood. You've got to look at Jason Day and Tyrrell Hatton. And if you get those in hand, I would do it sooner than later, because we've got 2 weeks to the Masters, and these things are going to shorten up extremely quickly. All right, that's going to do it for us today on this relatively short edition of the show. Thank you so much for listening to us. Hope you have a great winning week. We'll be back next Monday. We'll go over everything that happened on the major tours. We'll get you ready for the Valero Texas Open. Shout out to the Preferred Line Show. I'm going to be on that next Monday evening. A little bit longer form of the show. We'll talk about all kinds of stuff, Joe and I. Looking forward to that as well. But we're getting close. We're so close to the Masters. So excited for everything coming up in the next few weeks to talk about it with you. If you listen to us through a podcast service, please give us a 5-star review. Helps us reach more people. Got any questions? Email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm at Ryan Ballengee on Twitter. Join Golf News Net for $99 a year. Have a great week, everybody. We will see you next Monday.